You are listening to Podski Wee Wee, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Over the middle, caught Saunders, Jalen Saunders, touchdown.
Harris to the end zone.
Mazzoli chased down, end zone, touchdown, Luke Tasker. Into tight traffic, this looks like it's picked, it is picked by Richard Leonard. On second down, Mazzoli looks for Banks in deep, and Banks makes the catch, touchdown. Beats two Ottawa defenders of the football, Pruno and Rowe. And Banks has his second touchdown catch of the game.
Welcome to Podski Wee Wee. I'm Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham.
Mike, episode 100 we got here. Yay!
We made it. We made it. It's been a long journey.
It has been. It's a little show of two guys shooting the breeze about Ticats football, 3 years ago now. We get to the 100th episode of the show. And a lot of shows in entertainment, TV, even podcasts, they'll make a big deal out of episode 100. We didn't really get any guests or anything. We're just going to do what we normally do. But we do have a big announcement to kick off the show. And it's that yours truly, the guy you're listening to, purchased his plane tickets and is headed to Edmonton for Grey Cup. So me and Mike, side by side, all week long at Grey Cup. You're going to have to get used to us. We're going to turn the town upside down. It's going to be a lot of fun, isn't it?
It's going to be a blast. I've heard lots of news about the Grey Cup Festival here in Edmonton. It sounds like it's going to be even better than the one last year, and last year was spectacular. So I'm looking forward to having you out here and finally get to meet you face-to-face.
Yeah, show me the great city that you live in. There's so much stuff I want to see in Edmonton. Never been before. This will be my first time on a plane since I was 7 years old. So it's been a while. So there is the chance that about halfway through this countdown to me getting out to Edmonton, I'm going to get cold feet. You got to keep
You're
me
gonna chicken out.
Going, though.
You're going to chicken out.
Exactly. You got to keep me in line. You got to say, no, you want to come. Because I got to admit, I'm a little terrified of flying, but only because I haven't done it. So I'm hoping since going to Grey Cup, I've always been kind of hemming and hawing about it. But look, you're so kind and gracious to offer a place to stay. I got a great deal on plane tickets. It was a no-brainer once it all came together. So get used to us. You're going to see us, all the Grey Cup regulars that listen to our show, any newbies that are going, you're going to find out. We're probably going to be wearing our Podski Wee Wee gear, so we're going to be easily recognizable. So come hit us up and chat, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be a hell of a time, and maybe we'll have some Podski gear to give away or something. I don't know. But, yeah, we're going to have a great time, and hopefully we meet some people that listen to the show.
All right. So enough, patting ourselves on the back of me being able to buy a plane ticket as a grown man. There's a lot of news to talk about. We took a few weeks off, almost a month, I guess, now we've been off, because there was just no Ticats news. And we wanted to do a show a couple weeks ago, then we wanted to do a show last week, and just there was no Ticats news. So we're like, we're going to wait. And then it's like we got punched in the face with Ticats news, trades, releases, signings. It's just been a plethora of deals the Ticats have made, and nothing stands out more than Friday, which may have been, Mike, one of the craziest days in CFL offseason history that wasn't the day that free agency started, right? Like, there was trades all over the place. Hamilton was involved in too. Friday was nuts, wasn't it?
It was. It was really crazy. I was at work and then, checking my phone. It's just, it's really exciting to have these kinds of days. And we've had a couple of these days in the off season so far. Early on in December, it was pretty hectic. But I don't think anything tops what we saw this Friday.
No, we'll get to, there were two, well, I guess we could say there were four major trades, I guess would be more accurate than two.
Yeah.
But they were centered around two players. One we'll talk about later. The Ticats were involved in one of them. They traded for Charleston Hughes, and it was Mike who sent me the text message, and it literally said, what? Big trade, I think, is what you sent me. And it's like, okay, what's going on? It's like, holy smokes, they traded for Charleston Hughes, and you and I spent, what, 20 minutes going back and forth talking about how great this is. And then, maybe 2 hours later, he was traded again, this time for Vernon Adams. So the first deal was the Ticats traded a fourth-round pick that's 28th overall in this year's draft and a fourth-round pick in 2019 for Hughes and a fourth in this year's draft that's 34th overall. So the Stamps got two fourth-round picks from the Ticats, and the Ticats got Hughes and a fourth from the Stamps. And then the Ticats turned around. Literally, it was definitely less than like 3 hours. Two to 3 hours later, swapped Hughes to Regina and the Riders for Vernon Adams. It went from, wow, we got Charleston Hughes and we're so happy, to then like, okay, what does this mean? I think we're trying to rationalize a little bit. Well, they already have Adrian Tracy, who's a pretty good defensive end, and Capicotti's on the other side, and we're going to talk about him re-signing in a minute. I think we talked ourselves into this being an okay trade. But I'm still a little bummed that we're not going to get to watch Charleston Hughes play for the Ticats, because I think that would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about his age a bit. You know, he's at, I believe he's 34 now, so that's getting up there for a football player. And we kind of said to ourselves, if we can get one really good year out of it, it would be worth it. And then before you know it, he's gone and Vernon Adams slides in.
Yeah, and so they got their backup quarterback, and you and I both decided that this week is going to be free of a certain player's name. We're not going to mention him, but this trade, getting Vernon Adams a 3 year? This will be going, I think, his third year in the CFL. He's a veteran of the league, knows the league. He's going to be their backup quarterback. Kind of pushes the Ticats' need for that certain somebody out the window. They don't really need him anymore, right?
Not in my eyes, no. They have a capable backup now. A young backup, a backup that they can groom, a player that fit June Jones's mold, you know, the mobile quarterback with an arm. And I think it's a really good fit. I think he will thrive under this offense and the schemes and the system.
And he's with a coach, and I'm not saying that he wasn't with a coach before that trusted, but he's with a coach that kind of really likes him. Like, there was an interview when June Jones, I want to say it was the East-West Shrine game a couple of years ago when Adams was coming out of Oregon, and Jones was effusive in his praise, talking about some NFL team's going to take a chance on this kid and they're going to get a stud. That never happened. He came up to the CFL. He bounced from Montreal to Saskatchewan. Now he's in Hamilton. I feel like this is kind of a June Jones-type quarterback. Very similar, maybe not as durable or as bulky as, say, a Jeremiah Mazzoli, but there's definitely some parallels in their game, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would say so, and I believe that he's going to get his own packages in his offense. Vernon Adams is going to get his own packages, and he's going to be the backup quarterback, but we will see him in games taking snaps, I believe.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. And like, he came in, I listened to some interviews he did. He was in Hamilton today for kind of some press conference-y stuff, and just listening to the man talk, he says he wants to be a starting quarterback, but he recognizes that this team is Jeremiah Mazzoli's team, and he's here to do whatever job he's asked of. That's a great attitude, especially considering all the stuff we've heard about, you know, a certain somebody who seems to want everything handed to him. Adams is coming in here saying, look, I'm going to come in, I'm going to do my job, and that's just... You hear that, and you just get a smile on your face, because he's definitely a team guy, and I just think that this is a really good move by the Cats. They have two quarterbacks who are very similar in style, and I think Mazzoli's a little bit better, especially he's been in the league a bit longer. We've seen that Mazzoli can take the pressure of being the guy. He was the guy for the last 10 games last year, and he performed. I look at Adams a lot like I look at kind of Brandon Bridge, that, you know, another quarterback that they have in Saskatchewan. We've seen some flashes, but we don't know if he can do it over a full season. I just think that this is it's weird to say, man, they traded a future Hall of Famer for a backup quarterback, but I still think this was a good deal for the Cats to get Adams in here, because it negates the need for, you know, Mr. Number Two from down south to come up here. So I don't know. I guess like I said, I would have liked to have seen Charleston Hughes as a Ticat, because I've been a fan of his for a long time, but I can't be mad that they went and got like a 25-year-old backup quarterback that they can groom into maybe a starter one day.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got a ton of potential, and you know, the Charleston Hughes, he's a great player. He's still at the top of his game, but how many more years do you have? So with this, Vernon Adams, he comes in, like you said, he's a humble guy. He was a star in college. Jeremiah Mazzoli was a star in college, but these guys are mature. You know what I'm saying? They're mature and they know what's going on, and they're going to put in their time and make it work. So I'm really happy to have him as well.
All right, let's move on to all the signings this team did. Everyone freaking out. Remember back in December, Ticats aren't doing anything. They got to get off their asses. And we got the Mazzoli and the Banks stuff out of the way very early on after the new year hit. Then we kind of hit a lull there. The reason why we did no shows is there was no news to talk about. And then the news came in a flurry. We're not going to go in chronological order. I think we're going to go kind of in biggest news. I think the Capicotti re-signing. Justin Capicotti signed a two-year deal. I think this is probably the most important of the three major signings that the team did. Just this dude came in last year, got some starts, and I think proved that he can be the man on one of the ends again. He had two great years in Ottawa, then had kind of a lost year in Saskatchewan when he was traded to Hamilton. Didn't start off great last year, then kind of picked up his game near the end of the season. I think, you know, we can say that about the entire team, but when I saw this come across the wire, saw it come across Twitter, let's be honest, I got really excited. I think this is a great, great move by the Cats. What do you think?
I think it is too. He's a great player, no matter his nationality, but he is Canadian, so that does help out a lot. He appeared in 18 regular season games last year with Hamilton, 16 starts at defensive end. He had 7 quarterback sacks, 40 defensive tackles, 4 special teams tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 7 quarterback pressures. I mean, this guy, yes, he had a down year with Saskatchewan, but he's come in and he's performed every time he got on the field. And, you know, they couldn't keep him off the field. That's how good he was playing when he got in there. So to have him back on the defensive line, a tremendous player, still probably in the prime of his career. He's just 28 years old, so he's still got, you know, some years left. So to get him back is huge.
The next one that happened, I think this was the first of the three major signings, they brought back DeMond Washington on a one-year deal. I was really surprised by this. I didn't think he would be back. He got hurt with the team his first year in Hamilton, missed some time. I think he missed some time last year. He had the spitting incident, if you remember. And That secondary kind of has their 5 starters. And I know competition and all that stuff. But this one, like, maybe it's a depth signing and those are important too. But this one kind of took me by surprise. Not that I'm against them re-signing DeMond Washington. He can be a return man if he's not playing on defense. He can play special teams. He's got value outside of starting on defense. But this one took me by surprise. I thought that he would be allowed to hit free agency and sign somewhere else. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised too, just because he didn't perform that great last year, and then a couple of the maturity issues and the spitting incident and all that stuff. So yeah, I was a little bit surprised, but you know, bring him in, see what he can do in camp. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, or he could be a solid backup. So he's 30 years old now; he's still got some time left. We'll see what happens in training camp.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the mix as a return man. To be honest, I know he's done that before. I think he did it a little bit here. I think he did it with Winnipeg when he was there. I just don't know where I see a position for him starting on defense. And maybe we're sitting here because of how great the team ended the season and that secondary looked good, that we're looking too much ahead and thinking that the guys that played well are going to play well all year. But depth is important, like I said earlier. And this is kind of a depth signing with Washington. Maybe he steps in and starts and, you know, maybe he's cutting camp. I don't know, but I don't know. I really did truly think that he was going to be allowed to test free agency. So when they signed him, especially he was like the first of all these guys to sign, I was like, interesting. Okay, well, they must see something in that we really haven't seen, or they think that maybe they can mold him into something. But hey, it's never a bad thing to bring back veteran players, right?
Absolutely not.
The last signing, this one came across earlier today as we record this on Monday, and this one maybe had me the most excited. Tony Washington, left tackle, back on a one-year deal. I thought this was amazing news because now, Mike, the entire O-line from the end of the 2017 season that played extremely well is going to be back together for one more year. Tremendous, tremendous news as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have the offensive line, man. You got to have the offensive line or everything else falls apart. And we had one the last 9 games of the season. Now, let's take a look here. Washington was part of an offensive line that allowed the 3rd least quarterback sacks, you know, since he got in there, 18, and produced the most rushing yards, 1,149 rushing touchdowns over that span as well. So this unit together is very productive. They're protecting the quarterback. They're pushing people around, getting those run lanes open for the running back, whoever that may be. It's very exciting to me to have all 5 guys back for next season, it's going to make a huge difference to have these guys starting game one.
Continuity. We always talk about continuity on the offensive line. When's the last time that this team came back from a season and had all their offensive linemen back? It doesn't happen with these guys very often. They're always trying to mix and match and find someone new to begin the season. We saw it last year. Xavier Fulton was released during the season. I can't even remember the name of the guy that started at right tackle to start the season. But they finally found that unit that I think is gelling, and it all started when they brought Washington in. They initially used him at right tackle, but then they moved him to left tackle, and they brought Riker Matthews in to play right. We know the guys in the middle, the Canadian kids, Revenberg, Filer, and Bombin, are good. Now that they got these two bookends, to bring them back for another year, to get a full training camp in June Jones's system, I'm really excited this offensive line might end up being one of the best in the CFL this upcoming season.
That would be spectacular. I mean, if we have we have two mobile quarterbacks, and if we have a top-notch offensive line, I mean, think of the productivity we can have with that offense. Think of the yards we can rack up. Think of the points we can rack up. Think of the wins we can rack up. So, yes, it's very, very exciting, the potential in this offensive line and this offense as a whole.
What are the areas of concern? This is going a bit off the board. I wasn't really planning on talking about this, but just talking about the offensive line. Last year, we all remember, I think everyone who listens to the show remembers, the three things we harped on in the offseason: kicking game, offensive line, secondary. Secondary looks pretty good. Offensive line looks pretty good. Kicking game looks to be in strong hands or feet, as the case may be. Where is your concern with this team, legitimately? And I'm not saying we're looking at this with rose-colored glasses, or maybe we are and we just don't know it, but I look at this squad and I don't see a ton of missing pieces. Do you?
I really don't. Like, I'm not just being, you know, that I'm not very optimistic sometimes.
No, you are maybe the most pessimistic Ticats fan I know. And that says a lot, because there's a lot of pessimistic Ticats fans.
Yeah. But honestly, I mean, we did talk about it last season, in the offseason. Defensive backfield, offensive line, kicker, those were all huge concerns. Those have been, you know, those have been improved, and they might even be strengths now. So I don't really see any, like, really obvious weakness with this team right now. Now, I could be completely wrong. When we get to the season, they just completely tank. But at this moment, I don't see it.
At least in February, we're optimistic. And that's,
yeah.
I don't even think we were this optimistic last year after they were coming off a playoff appearance. We were very concerned with where this team was headed. We thought that it would come together, and it did, but too late to make a real push. But I don't know. I look at it now, and maybe it's false optimism. I don't know. But I look at this team, and I see a lot of strengths, and I don't see very many weaknesses. And free agency is a little over a week away, and I don't see this team having to do a whole ton to upgrade the talent on this squad.
No, and you never know with June Jones in place now. Maybe they're a little bit different. Maybe they're a little bit more aggressive in free agency. But you're right. I don't see why they would have to be, because they got a lot of talent right now. They got a lot of veteran players. They got some young players. There's a good mix going on in Hamilton right now.
So last piece of Ticats news, speaking of veteran players, is the unfortunate release of Emmanuel Davis. This is a bummer, but I can't say this was too surprising. I think we all saw this coming around midseason when he lost his job to younger, namely cheaper players who were performing better than he was. And I personally think he's going to bounce back and find a home somewhere. And I'm sure he's
Argos.
Yeah, you think? You think it's the Argos?
Well, why wouldn't you think that?
Fair
enough. You know, that's where
it's where they all go.
It's where they all go, you know?
True. He's going to find somewhere, you know, and I think he's going to be one of those guys that Ticats fans are going to go, oh, he's going to come back and kill us. And maybe that's the case. But I think this is – it's unfortunate because he had a pretty good career here and he was definitely a fan favorite. But I can't say that anyone couldn't see this coming after the season he had last year and the way that the other DBs who replaced him, Richard Leonard, Don Unamba, those guys, how they played. I can't really see how anyone could be surprised that a veteran player who signed a free agent contract last year, I can't see how anyone shocked that he was let go. It's a money thing, and he was outplayed.
Yeah, he fell out of favor last season, I believe, when June Jones came in. At some point, he was benched. And you look at the young talent in the defensive backfield, he can be replaced, and he can be replaced at a lower wage. So that's what it is, you know. Football is a business, and we've seen that many cases of that recently in the CFL. So if you can get younger and you can get cheaper and you can still maintain the same productivity, then you have to do it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But you're saying Toronto's the landing spot?
Yeah, I'm just gonna, yeah, that's my guess.
All right, I don't really have a guess. I'll say, you know what? I'll say Montreal just for the hell of it. You know, why not? Montreal needs talent. He's pretty talented. He's going to Montreal. That's what I'm saying. So you got the Argos. Right. I got Montreal. We'll see where he lands in the coming weeks.
Sounds good to me, buddy.
All right, so that's it for Ticats news. Let's get into some CFL news. And I guess the first thing isn't really CFL news. It's more XFL news. That's right, everyone. The XFL, everyone's favorite Vince McMahon-owned football league, is back, or at least will be back, in 2020. Eight-team league, 10-game schedule, almost identical to what it was the last time around. I can't say I'm excited. I don't think that's the correct word for the return of the XFL, because I remember the old XFL. Did you watch the XFL when it was around in 01?
Yeah, I watched a couple games. I wasn't like a loyal viewer, but I remember watching a couple games, yes.
No, you're no Homer Simpson with the flag and the hat, all excited about the return of the XFL?
No.
I'm not like, oh my God, I can't wait for the XFL to come back. But I'm not against spring football. We just had a fabulous Super Bowl last night, and I'm kind of still thirsty for football. So in the world where the XFL succeeds, it kind of would be kicking off next week or two. So I'm down for the XFL, let's put it that way. My concern with the league itself, though, is we haven't really heard anything. Like, we got 2 years till it's going to come about. And all the things you heard from Vince in his press conference was like, we're not going to have any, you know, anthem protests, essentially. We don't want to mix politics, social issues with football. And we're not going to let players with criminal records come in and play in the league. And if the XFL is just going to be that and worse football, no one's going to give a crap, right? Like, it's been proven time and time again that in the United States, at least, football fans don't care about any other pro league other than the NFL when it comes to football. Like, they don't want worse players and worse football, but oh, we're going to be free of social justice commentary or whatever, you know. Like, it just seems like it's the thing that people kind of forget about the original XFL is the innovations it made. The Skycam that everyone loves, the XFL invented that. The Bubba Cam, which is what they called it, which was sort of like getting the camera kind of into the huddles and being on the field. The XFL invented that. Well, actually, WWE or WWF at the time invented that and used it in the XFL. Now we see it on football broadcasts. Mic'd up players. Like, the XFL didn't pioneer that. Like, that had been done before. But doing it in-game and listening to the players and seeing them, what they're doing, like, that's what they kind of brought to the forefront. And the NFL took all these ideas. So if the XFL is going to last, I think, this time around, it's going to have to innovate again. And I just look at it as no anthem protests and no criminals isn't really innovation. It's just kind of cutting off your talent pool, no?
It's like the complete opposite of the original XFL. You know what I mean? Like, it's the original XFL. I mean, it was called the XFL. I don't know if it was because it was called the Extreme Football League. I don't know if it was just – if it was actually called that or it was just the XFL. But it was, you know, smash mouth football. You know, there's – our rules are going to be different and all this stuff. And now it's like conservative, like good luck with the criminal record thing, by the way. You're not going to have any players. I mean, there's going to be nobody. It's ridiculous. I'm intrigued by it. I'll believe it when I see it, if it gets off the ground. It's very interesting because he answered a lot of questions without actually answering questions with details. You know, it's going to be better football, it's going to be faster, I don't know how we're going to do it, but the games will be 2 hours, and, you know, all this nonsense. I don't know what to think about it. I don't think it's ever going to get off the ground, to be honest.
Oh, I think I do. I think we're going to see at least one season of it. I don't think Vince, and this is what, and we're both wrestling fans, Vince doesn't like to fail. And the XFL might have been his most public, spectacular failure. And if he's going back to it, you got to think he's learned his lessons. Now, whether that means this is going to be successful or not, I don't know. But even just this, announcing it 2 years out, as opposed to last time, I remember they announced it in October of 2000 and they kicked off in February of 2001. That's what, like 6 months? And the football was terrible because the players weren't together. And like, he's announcing it now. I feel like he's putting into place, at least from what we've seen, the parameters for this to be successful. Whether it is or isn't is going to be entirely on the play on the field. That's what's going to essentially decide whether this is going to be a league that we're talking about in 20 years or a league that's dead 6 months after it
so
kicks off.
He's going to own all the teams.
Teams. Yeah, I don't really get that either. I don't know if that really works, although that's a great way to keep costs down because it's probably going to go to that model that they had last time where every player, regardless, got the same amount of money. I think it was quarterbacks got like $6,000 a game, kickers got like $3,500, and then everyone else got like $5,000, which is okay. If it works, it works. If players are willing to play for that, and you know guys are going to want to do it because it's a chance to get themselves exposed because this is going to be on television somehow. I don't know how. Looking into it, this kicks off in 2020. WWE's current television contracts run out in September of 2019. I think I even mentioned this to you. He's probably going to package. You want Raw and SmackDown? You're taking XFL with it. And he'll get a big deal from one of the cable companies. It's going to happen. But the thing is, we know Vince. Vince is, for lack of a better term, he's a star. And you're telling me no anthem protests, so Colin Kaepernick's not going to be in the league, no criminal players.
Yeah.
I hate saying his name. Johnny Manziel's not going to be in the league. Those are star players that Vince McMahon is salivating over the opportunity to have. And you're telling me he's going to ban them from – no, come on. We know Vince likes stars.
Why would he say that? Why would he do that? I mean, it's just stupid.
It's foolish.
Is Trump involved with this?
Sure sounds like it, doesn't it? I know they're buddies.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. You know, he's at war with was at war with the NFL players and all this. And has had a history of, you know, trying to stick it to the NFL with the USFL. He tried to buy in with the Bills and they wouldn't allow it. I don't know exactly what happened there, but there's some bad history between Trump and the NFL. So it would not shock me to find out that he is, got his fingers somehow involved in this.
Hey, at least if he's got his fingers involved in this, he doesn't have his fingers involved down women's skirts. Anyway, let's not talk politics. Let's talk about what this means for the CFL, though, because we are a CFL podcast, so let's talk about that. What do you think? Do you think this is going to help, hurt? Is it kind of a non-issue for the CFL? Like, what's kind of your take on I know you said you don't think it's going to get off the ground. Let's base this on the assumption that it does get off the ground. What do you think in 2020 this is going to mean for the Canadian Football League?
Yeah, that's a tough question because it all depends on how much they're paying. Is there going to be multi-year contracts? Like if you play in the XFL, I know this would be difficult for a football player because it's so hard on the body, but if you played in the XFL, could you play in the CFL like that same year? I don't know. Is it going to steal talent? I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see. Now, when does the CBA come up in the CFL? Is that 2020?
Next May.
Okay, so it's right before. So they're going to have to look at some stuff. I mean, if they're going to have to find out how much they're going to be paying and, you know, try to be competitive with that or be paying more. Like, I don't have any idea what this is going to look like. So I'm just not answering your question, really, because I don't know what to expect.
So what you're saying is you're pulling a Vince McMahon.
Yes.
I guess it is too difficult to really kind of pin this down as to what it's going to do for the CFL, simply because we're so far out and we don't really know a whole heck of a lot. I imagine there are going to be some CFL players or players that would consider the CFL signing with the XFL instead, closer to home, make American money,
stuff like that.
I could see it. I don't think, in all honesty, it's going to be that big of a deal or have that much of a negative effect on the CFL. I really don't. I think the last time this happened, we did see CFL players sign down there. I remember Jermaine Copeland played down there. Paul McCallum he recorded the first points in XFL history, if I recall correctly. We did see CFL players play in the XFL and then I believe come back up and play in the CFL. So I see it could be a companion. It's going to be a competitor in a way. I just don't think – I think when push comes to shove, the guys are still going to come to the CFL because I think it's still going to be viewed by NFL teams. The CFL is the second best league in the world when it comes to professional football. So there's more of a chance of guys getting signed coming from there. I know guys went from the XFL. Tommy Maddox was a big one that went from the XFL to the, back to the NFL. But I don't know. I just I don't see it as a huge threat to the CFL, but you never know. It's Vince McMahon, and you're right. A lot of it's going to have to do with pay. If they're going to pay the players a lot more money, then maybe you're going to see some talent go down there and not come back. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
It's definitely going to be an interesting 2 years leading up to the kickoff if it happens in 2020.
Yeah. Okay. So we talked about money, and that was the other big news since we last sat down and talked. The whole James Wilder Jr., Victor Butler contract thing. Wilder says he's not going to play in 2018, says the Argos won't let him out of his deal to pursue an NFL opportunity, and he says he's essentially, what it sounds like, could be completely done with football because he's going to put his family ahead of his dreams of being a professional athlete. And Victor Butler went on Three Down Nation and penned a scathing article talking about how he feels like he's been being held hostage, how he told the Argos when the Argos signed him, even though it was Jim Barker, said, look, I'm only coming up for 1 year to get back in the NFL. Barker said that's okay. He doesn't really say it, but it sure sounds like he's not going to be back either. Butler was a lot more – what's the word I'm looking for? He was – his language is a lot harsher than Wilder. Wilder seemed to be a little bit more of a, hey, this is what I'm looking for. A little bit more even-keeled, I think, is the way I'm looking at it. Whereas Butler was just like, burn the house down. Just
right.
Pure anger.
He saw the Wilder thing, and he was like, I'll – double down on that.
Yeah, you know? And then the Micah Alway situation happened where the Lions released him with a couple of years left on his deal, and then that led to the league making a response, and I didn't really like the way the league sort of responded to all this. I feel like them coming out, what they said was a little condescending and somewhat patronizing. Ambrosi's talking about if guys playing the CFL, they should get jobs in the offseason, talk about finding the Lions for what they did. Like, I understand where the league's coming from here and saying that the rules need to be uniform across every team. I just felt like just the way that they said what they said, I didn't really like it.
It was a mistake by Ambrosi to say that. I think it makes the league look like how a lot of people look at it. You know, you're not making any money. You're going to have to work in the off season. Why would you say that? Like, let's try to work towards players not having to work in the offseason. Let's work towards paying them enough so they won't have to do that. You're right. I didn't like it. That's probably the first thing that I haven't liked from Randy Ambrosi as commissioner.
Well, what bothers me about it is that it perpetuates this idea that being an athlete, that being a CFL player is a part-time job in this. And I have no love for Henry Burris. I've made that known. In fact, if you go to Three Down Nation today, you'll see that I kind of ripped him apart for his ranking of quarterbacks. I'm not a fan of Henry Burris. But he spent 20 years of his life up here, lived in Calgary, set up roots here, basically became a Canadian. And because he played in the CFL and the CFL is deemed a part-time job, had a hell of a time trying to get citizenship. He still hasn't. He's got, I think, permanent residency status, working towards citizenship. And this idea that being a pro athlete, even in the CFL, is a part-time job, to me, is ridiculous. These guys have to train in the offseason to get better. They have to watch. Like, they're doing work while not getting paid to better their situation for when they do play. The days of Rob Hitchcock playing safety and then going to work at the LCBO, those days essentially should be over, because these guys don't just get to play the season and then go home and work a regular job. That's not how it really – like, yes, set yourself up for life after football. We've seen star players do that. But the idea that these guys – like, oh, he made $52,000 a year for 6 months' work. That's pretty darn good. That's not true. These guys are not just working 6 months a year. And Ambrosi's comments about getting a job in the offseason perpetuates that myth, and I don't like that.
I don't like it one bit either. These guys should be getting paid. You know, the minimum, I'd love to see the minimum at $100,000. I know that's a far ways away, perhaps. But, you know, it's not just a job. It's totally different from you and I going to work. These guys are putting their health, their bodies on the line for our entertainment. And they should be compensated, you know, more than they are right now, especially the minimum stuff. So to say, oh, go get a job, it's kind of disrespectful. I mean, these, like you said, these guys are training all year round to come in and better themselves on the football field, and they're putting their bodies at risk. They should be getting paid enough that they don't have to work in the offseason.
Well, the thing is, too, if you or I get hurt at work, we don't have to worry about losing our jobs. There's barriers in place right. That says our employers can't fire us because we got hurt at work. James Wilder Jr. goes out next year and tears up his knee, and he's out for the rest of the season. His contract's up. They don't have to bring him back. His career could be over. And these guys have short enough careers as it is. I never understand. I get it. A contract's a contract. And look, I'm not going to sit here.
It's not, though. It's not. What we see today, like Bowman, and like this happens so often
yes.
where, oh, there's a day away from the big bonus. And then, oh, see, we're not going to pay you that. Like, it angers me, to be honest.
I agree. But these guys go into this knowing the deal. They understand that they're one bad season away from uncertainty. So they understand that. So that's why, especially for CFL players, they got a chance to make 10 times their income, 20 times their income playing in the NFL. I can't look at them and say I blame them. I remember the Chris Williams situation was the one that really sort of flipped me, because I used to be, no, a contract's a contract. You honor your contract. But then the Chris Williams thing happened a few years ago, and I looked at it, and everyone was so angry. They called him a traitor. He was selfish. And it's like, you know what? If I'm working somewhere and I was offered to make 10 times doing the same job somewhere else, I'm not staying. Loyalty be damned.
Nobody is.
Even if I had a contract, I would find a way to break that contract. And Victor Butler made a great point in his in comparing coaching contracts to player contracts. Mark Trestman was apparently up for the offensive coordinator position with the Seattle Seahawks. He has a contract, signed a 3-year deal last year with the Argos. But he could have walked away from that without blinking, with no repercussions, and gone and got another job. But Victor Butler can't. There's just certain things about this that bother me, and seeing people take the team. Like, I don't think the teams are wrong for saying we have a contract with this guy, we want him to honor it. I'm not saying that they're the villains. And I don't think players are selfish for wanting to make more money playing in the bigger league where they can. Like, I don't feel like there's a bad guy in this. I feel like it's two sides who both have reasonable arguments. One more legal with the contracts, and one more human, where you're just like, I wouldn't want anyone to be stopped from making as much money as they possibly can, especially football players where their careers are so short.
Yeah, and with the James Wilder Jr. situation, like, if he's willing to play for more money, why not offer him? I mean, this guy was on an email sent out to either renew season tickets or to buy season tickets. He was like the guy that was on the email, like. He's could be a big star in that market. And I know that they don't want to, you know, change the contract, because that could be a slippery slope and everyone would want a different contract. But this is a special player. This is a special circumstance. When he came into the Argos as a starter, he changed that offense. Without James Wilder, I don't think the Argos win the Grey Cup. I mean, I know that he didn't have a huge playoff or a huge Grey Cup, but just his presence was so huge for that Toronto team. I mean, if I were the Argos, I would restructure his contract, you know, for another year, just 1 year, and give him, you know, double what he's making now. Make him, give him $100,000 plus, because he's worth the money.
So what is the solution to all this then? Because clearly the status quo isn't working. So a change needs to be made. Is bringing back that option window something they should do? Should CFL teams allow NFL teams to take players but kind of pay a transfer fee like you see in soccer, especially over in Europe? Should entry-level contracts have a salary bump in the second year for players who meet benchmarks or overperform what their contract says? Like, what is it that the league needs to do to fix this? Because this isn't going away by keeping things the same, and we can't keep things the same, or we're going to start seeing players like Wilder, players like Butler, who were stars last year, decide it's not worth playing up here anymore. And then the product itself, the CFL product, becomes worse. So what can the league do to make this better?
I don't know why they took that option a year out in the first place, like the new CBA. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Why would they make it, minimum to your contract for rookies?
It was a trade-off.
Do you know the reason behind that?
The only thing I've heard is it was a trade-off to get one-year deals for veterans. And
for
veterans, and I can't fault them. Veterans look out for veterans. They don't worry about guys coming in, because they're not those guys. Guys in the union, guys that pay attention to stuff, aren't first-year guys. they're not rookies coming in. They are veteran players who have been in this league a long time. They're looking out for themselves. It's kind of a selfish way to look at it, but I understand. It's the same in the NFL when they redid their CBA. It was, we're taking money away from rookies to give it to veteran players, and that's, I think that's where this comes from. So do you think that, that's the option? Like, just bring the option window
back?
Yeah, I mean,
it worked before. Why can't it work again, you know?
I agree. I didn't have a problem with the option window, especially because if a guy in his option year goes down south, even if he plays like 10 years down there, if he's like, you know what, I want to go play a couple more years in the CFL, I think the CFL team keeps his rights. So it's like, it's not like they have to worry about, like, if Wilder wants an NFL shot, they have to cut him outright. And then if he fails and comes back, he can sign with anyone. Although I think most of the time you see when teams do this, guys go back to, because the teams, you know, quote unquote, did right by them. So yeah, it's such an easy solution, right? Like, just bring back the thing we had before when players were being paid even less. And it wasn't, we didn't see this stuff where guys held out or said it's not worth, like, you know what I mean? Like, bring it back, and then I think problem solved.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like we discussed earlier, like, not sure the reasons, but yeah, just the CBA is coming up next year. Just bring it back, and we don't have to deal with this anymore.
All right, that's it for that. That was that's a hotly debated issue, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon. I think this is something that's going to be in the front of everyone's minds for quite some time. But let's go to our new favorite game, Mike. Big deal, little deal, no deal at all. We'll do rapid action here on a bunch of other CFL news. We'll stick with the Argos and start with bringing back Ricky Ray on a one-year deal. Okay, Mike, big deal, little deal, no deal at all.
It's a little deal. I don't think Ricky Ray can perform the way he did down the stretch if James Wilder Jr. isn't in the lineup. So if he's out there, he's one of the greats of all time. He doesn't have a running game. Teams are just going to pin their ears back and come after him. And if Ricky Ray's pressured, he's not a good quarterback. Little deal.
I think it's a big deal for one reason. I think we're getting one last season of Ricky Ray. So we're going to sign a one-year deal. He admitted that he mulled retirement. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this is the last year of Ricky Ray's career. So we all get maybe a year to sort of celebrate his career. I think it's a big deal, too, simply because what does this mean for James Franklin? Didn't want to stay in Edmonton because he didn't want to be a backup. Gets traded to Toronto, signs a somewhat lucrative deal, although not huge money, but money that if he performed would make him a starting caliber paid player. And now Ricky Ray comes back, and you know Ricky Ray is going to be the starter going in, but Franklin signed a two-year deal. So is this like sort of the Trevor Harris, Henry Burris thing where Franklin will learn for 1 year behind Ray and then take the reins the following year? It could lead to a little turmoil in Argo land. So I think it's a big deal in that respect.
Yeah, I could see, you know, people calling for the backup like fans like to do. And, you know, obviously he's a way more mobile, younger quarterback. So if Ricky Ray is getting beat up back there, I would not be surprised if we see James Franklin come in at some point next season.
Good point about the running game, though. I didn't think of that. Okay, next one up. The Bombers signed Darian Durant. Big deal, little deal, no deal at all.
No deal at all. It's garbage.
I'm going to say little deal, only because I don't think it's no deal at all, because he's coming in as a backup. I think in that role, Durant has value. But, man, if he starts, the Bombers are in a lot of trouble, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if Nichols goes down, you might as well just give up. I mean, you're not going to win any games with Darian Durant as quarterback. He is – like, honestly, I was not, like, a hater of Darian Durant before, but – after seeing him play last year, it's just like, I can't believe anyone signed him. He is just, okay, I'm sorry. I don't think it's a big deal at all.
Okay, moving on. The Montreal Alouettes maybe found their quarterback. They signed Josh Freeman. I think we all remember him. First-round draft pick in the NFL many years ago with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kind of flamed out of the NFL. So, Mike, the Owls bringing in Josh Freeman. Big deal, little deal, no deal at all.
That's a medium deal. That's a little deal. I've listened to his interviews. He sounds like he's got his head on straight. It sounds like he's ready to put in the work. But other quarterbacks said that too. You know, Troy Smith, I thought, sounded that way, and others. So
Jonathan Crompton.
I mean, this is a little deal until he starts and performs. It could become a big deal, but at this time, it's a little deal for me.
I'm saying no deal at all. He's 30, no CFL experience, flamed out of the NFL. I wish him success, but as far as I'm concerned, the Owls have shown me nothing that says they will be able to develop him into a starting caliber quarterback in the CFL. And if they don't have a quarterback, they're just in as much trouble as they've been since Anthony Calvillo was forced to retire from the game. So to me, this is no deal at all. If Josh Freeman wasn't a former first round pick, honestly, you and I wouldn't even be talking about this right now.
No. And, you know, I didn't follow his NFL career that closely, but obviously it didn't go that great if he's in the CFL. Not to disparage the CFL at all, but if there's any options in the NFL, you know, the players are going to take it.
Yeah, he had one monster year with the Bucks, like 30 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Looked like he was going to be a star, and then I think they changed coaches, and then it was just all downhill from there. Next, Edmonton signs Kevin Glenn, completing the cycle. He has now played for or been property of every single team in the CFL. Okay, Mike, big deal, little deal, no deal at all.
It's a little deal. I mean, they get a solid backup in Kevin Glenn, and he's never going to go away. He's just going to be around as a backup for the next 30 years. But
which is fine, because you know what that means? He's going to end up being the starting quarterback for the Atlantic Schooners, and he's going to make it 10 for 10. Sure.
There you go. Yeah, it's a little deal. I mean, if Riley goes down, that's going to be trouble for the Eskimos. But Glenn can come in and do his mediocre game and maybe win a couple for the Eskimos. So I'm going to go little deal.
I think completing the cycle is a big deal because that's history. And I think that's really cool. Like, as much as people like to crap on Kevin Glenn, and now the thing will be, well, he played for every team in the league. That's a big deal that there's one guy, because we're never going to see something like that again. Like, maybe we'll see it with a guy in the CFL, maybe, but you're never going to see a guy in any of the other major sports leagues play for every single team in the league. Yeah. So I think that's kind of cool. The signing itself, though, it's kind of a little deal. He probably won't play, or like he won't unless the KG curse rears its ugly head and Mike Riley gets injured. So this is just a veteran player being signed as a backup, similar to Darian Durant, except we've actually seen Kevin Glenn play well in recent years. So in that respect, to me, it's a little deal. Okay, next up, we're sticking with Edmonton, Mike. The Edmonton Eskimos re-sign receiver Darrell Walker. Big deal, little deal, no deal at all.
I think it's a huge deal now. I mean, Bowman's gone. Zylstra's gone. It's a big deal for the Eskimos to get Darrell Walker back in the lineup, because he's going to be the go-to guy, I think, for Mike Riley. Mike Riley's comfortable with him. He was never really the number one. I think Bowman was the number one for many years, obviously, and then Zylstra took over that spot last year when Bowman went down with some injuries and wasn't playing as well. So to get Darrell Walker back, I think, is a very big deal for the Eskimos.
I think so, too. Now, they signed him before they let go of Adarius Bowman, which we will talk about in a second. But, yeah, this is a big deal. Walker's a stud, man, a bona fide stud. And he's going to make Edmonton's offense continue to be very dangerous, especially with the losses of the two receivers you talked about in Zylstra and Bowman. So, yeah, I think this is an absolutely huge deal to get him back in green and gold for another year. Sticking with Edmonton, they released Adarius Bowman, as you just brought up. What do you think? Big deal, little deal, no deal at all?
I'm kind of torn on this because on the field, I think his play declined quite a bit last season. But he's just such a Edmonton Eskimo. You know, you think of the Eskimos, you think of a couple players, and he's one of them. I know that he's done tremendous work in the community. I know I've met him on a couple occasions, and, you know, I don't know him that well. But from when we talk, he seems like a real nice guy, real, like, genuine dude. So on the field, I'm going to say little deal because his play is declining, but off the field for the brand, it's a big deal.
Man, get out of my head, dude. That's exactly what I have written down here. To me, it's a little deal. It's a big deal for Edmonton fans, and I think a big deal for the community because they lose a guy that's so ingrained in that community, the Adarius for autism stuff. Like, this is a guy who gets it, you know what I mean? But you're right. His play on the field dipped considerably last year. He was hurt. He's 32. It feels like on the field, it was the right time to move on, especially if he was going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. He didn't perform like that. So from an on-field perspective, I absolutely understand it. But from a community perspective, this is one of those ones that's really hard to take for a fan base. And I feel for Edmonton fans right now because you see this happen across the league. These fan favorite guys, we dealt with it with Peter Diakowski, with Marwan Hage, these guys who are stalwarts of the community, and they're well, Hage retired before he went somewhere else. But watching these guys leave, it's kind of tough. But quick prediction, okay, Mike, who signs him?
I'm gonna go with the BC Lions. I think, you know, he stays on the West Coast and he slides into a team that could be very competitive next year.
Okay, I had two written down here. I figured these are the two that are probably the most likely. So if you took one, I was taking the other. BC was one of the teams. I'm saying Montreal. So he's going to go to the Alouettes. They're going to throw a bunch of money at him. That's going to be too much to pass up. The Owls love their older veteran players. I think he goes to Montreal.
Kavis Reed knows him pretty well, so I can see that.
Exactly. I think those are probably the two front runners. Although I did just recently see before we started recording that the Riders could be in the mix for him too. And I guess Chris Jones just wants to sign every single American receiver that becomes available.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of the Riders, this is a kind of a two-prong attack here. They re-signed Daron Carter. So let's start with that. Do you think that's a big deal, little deal, or no deal at all?
I think it's a big deal. He's one of the best receivers in the CFL. I mean, he has an huge amount of talent. He's a great player.
I think it's a big deal, too. I think he is probably the most talented, like physically gifted, talented player in the league outside of anyone. I think if he wasn't who he was, he'd be a star in the NFL. But now we have to get to the second part of this, which kind of tempers the whole big deal thing. He was twice busted for carrying marijuana, once in November in Winnipeg and just recently. At first, for me, this was no deal at all because, quite frankly, I don't really give a crap if players smoke weed. It makes no difference to me. We're, what, 4 months away from it being legalized in this country anyway? Not a big deal. Then it comes out that he was apparently carrying 30-plus grams, which can get you charged with possession with the intent to traffic. That's a big deal. It's bad enough that he got caught twice, that he's dumb enough to get busted twice in, what, 3 months? 2 months, essentially, for carrying weed? But a possible, like, we're talking, like, jail time offense here? That's a big deal.
I totally agree. It's when I first heard it, I was like, yeah, who cares, right? I mean, I figured maybe he had like a joint or something in his pocket, but to bring 30 plus grams to the airport, I mean, that's stupidity. That's really, really dumb. And twice he's been busted for it. So, man, you just can't be doing that. It's stupid. It's a stupid move by him, and he might pay for it because of the 30 plus grams. It's a big deal. Like right now, it's a big deal. It wasn't a big deal until I heard all the details. Now it's a big deal.
Yeah, because the whole, like, if he gets charged, he could be exported out of the country, not be allowed to play. Like, this could really pretty much end his professional football career. So, again, like I said, when I first heard it, I was like, oh, whatever, it's weed, I don't care. I was like, what a moron. Who takes weed to the airport? Like, you're an idiot. Like, that's how I thought. Right. And then it was like, oh, he could get trafficking charges. Like, that's a big deal. And so I guess we're going to have to watch this play out because this could go one of two ways. And for his sake, I really hope it doesn't go the wrong way. You know what I mean?
It always bothers me to see people really lose their job, lose their life, you know, because they have some weed on them. I mean, that's just, it's a non-violent action, but in the same case, it was just a stupid thing to do. Leave the stuff at home or bring like one joint or whatever. Just don't bring enough for a trafficking charge anywhere.
Anywhere, right. Okay, next up, going back to Edmonton. They traded, this was the second part of Crazy Friday. The Edmonton traded Odell Willis to Ottawa, who like less than like 30 minutes later flipped him over to BC. So I guess we'll take it as one three-team trade in a sense. So what do you think, Mike? Big deal, little deal, no deal at all?
I think it's a little deal. Odell is an interesting character. He's performed really well over the years, but I think he's on the decline. You know, the age is getting up there again. And I think he got a lot of penalties last year, a lot of offside penalties trying to time up that jump on the line, and it just wasn't working for him. Now, I think he was pretty productive last year, but I'm going to go a little deal because I think his production on the field is going to start to decline in a big, big way.
I think you and I must talk too much because that's exactly how I feel. I think it's a little deal as well. I think Willis still has something left in the tank. I think he still has – he can still contribute. But his days as an elite top-of-the-line pass rusher, I think, are behind him. He'll go to BC. I'm sure he'll have some a couple of monster games. But the Lions aren't getting 2012 Odell Willis. They're getting 2018 Odell Willis. I think he still has value. I think if they can find the right scheme for him and they can use him effectively, I think it's a – I don't think it's a bad deal for the Lions to bring him in any case. But they're not getting – the guy, the main guy anymore. They're getting a guy who's best as maybe a part-time contributor on the defense, kind of a pass rush specialist sort of, that sort of role for him. They're not getting an every-down player who's going to dominate for 60 minutes every week for 18 weeks a year.
No, there's definitely going to be some rotation going on with Odell next season, I'd say, in BC.
All right, last but not least, there was a bit of a controversy since we last sat down, revolving around some concepts for names for the Halifax CFL franchise. The big one, the Halifax Explosion. For anyone that doesn't know, Halifax had a massive explosion about 100 years ago. A lot of people died. Kind of, I think there was a Canadian Heritage Minute about it when we were children. So it's kind of a well-known thing. This sort of sparked this giant controversy where people thought it was in poor taste and all that other sorts of stuff. So, Mike, having spent time in Atlantic Canada, but also regardless of that, you understand the history of this. What do you think? Is this name controversy? Is it a big deal, a little deal, no deal at all?
It's so far in the in the history, you know, it's so far in the past for Halifax. I don't think it's a little deal. I mean, it was just a concept by a Twitter handle that has nothing to do with the actual team. So he just threw it out there, he or she or whoever it is that runs that Twitter account. And, you know, people got upset because, you know, over 2,000 people died. I still remember the commercial, the Heritage commercial. Remember that? Yeah. But obviously it was a huge tragedy, and I don't think the team will be named the Halifax Explosion. So to me, it's a non-issue. It was just a name thrown out there, and they caught some heat for it, and that's about it. So to me, no deal at all.
Yeah, I think it's no deal at all because of some of the things you said. This wasn't from the group that's with the team. I think it was in poor taste to sort of exploit a tragedy. It'd be like calling a team like the, you know, Jerusalem Holocaust. You know what I mean? Like, there's just certain things that, you know what, let's – like, Explosion is a pretty good name for a sports team, not for a sports team in Halifax. So I just think it was in poor taste.
It was a misstep, It was a misstep by them. But they've had a lot of great concepts come out of that Twitter account, and that was not one of them. But, you know, they made a mistake, and we'll move on.
Pretty much. So that's a great way to end it. Okay. So last thing we're going to do this week, we decided to change up one of our kind of weekly show segments. Usually we take questions from fans, and this year we decided to flip it a little bit. Instead of you asking us questions, we are going to ask you a question in a segment we are going to call Ty Cat's Question of the Week.
So, swerve!
it's a swerve, bro. This week's question is simple. Name one free agent you'd like to see the Ticats bring in and one that you'd like to see them bring back. So you're picking one player from the other eight teams and one player from the Ticats. I know there's going to be a lot of guys that fans want back, but you can only choose one. Mike and I will give our answers this week, and we will read your answers next week before our next question, Ticats Question of the Week, next week. So, Mike, you got the question. Who are your players? Who's your one guy that you want to see them bring in, and who's the one guy you want to see them bring back?
I'm going heavy defensive line here. Going to go Jamal Westerman, one of the best defensive linemen in the league. He's a national. It would be huge. And then I'm bringing back Big Teddy. So we got Big Teddy, we got Capicotti, and we got Jamal Westerman on that defensive line. Now that would be a spectacular defensive line with all three nationals.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know what? That's pretty smart. Great way to build a franchise is to go out there and get talented Canadian players. I went differently than you. I like your picks. Outside of the team, bit of a wild card. I went with John White, running back from Edmonton. I know that running back is not an area of need for the Ticats. They have Alex Green. They signed Storm Johnson, who I think could be one of those guys that we didn't talk about a lot, but could make an impact throughout the season. But John White is such a special player. When he is healthy, he is amongst the best running backs in the league. You're probably not going to have to pay a ton to bring him in. He would be dynamic in a June Jones offense. I go back to what we talked about earlier when we were freestyling about how this team doesn't really have any needs. Running back is not one of them at all, but a player like him on the open market, I think he'd look really good in black and gold. And the one guy I wanted to bring back initially was Tony Washington, because I wrote out my answers before today. So I had to quickly go, okay, who is it? And I went with Luke Tasker. I think just give June Jones more, as many offensive weapons to play with. I think the defense is pretty stout. I'm leaning towards Ted Laurent not coming back. I hope I'm wrong, but that's just a gut feeling I have. So I went with Luke Tasker. I think this team has speed and size with Banks and Saunders as your speed. You got Tolliver with the size. Shamont Chambers, a pretty big guy as well. They need that possession receiver on the inside. Is Andy Fantuz going to come back? I don't know. Luke Tasker, though, he's a guy who had one of the best seasons a tight catch receiver ever had last year. I need to see him back in black and gold. So John White and Luke Tasker are my two guys.
I like them both. And Luke Tasker is one of my favorite players of all time on the Ticats. So I'd love to see him back as well. I think, you know, if Fantuz isn't back, you got to bring back Tasker, because he's just he's a possession receiver, yes, but he can also make plays. Like he doesn't have a ton of speed, but he has more speed than Andy Fantuz.
He's very shifty. Tasker's very shifty.
He is very shifty. One of those guys he's a good route runner. Right?
Yeah, he's a great route runner. He's not a guy who's probably going to take very many 80 yards to the house, but he can take a 7-yard slant and turn it into a 25-yard gain very quickly.
Exactly. Yep. And I hope that – I wasn't sure if June Jones was – you know, if Tasker was one of his guys, you know, but I hope he is, and I hope they really strongly try to bring him back.
Yeah, I think Jones is smart enough to recognize that you can't just have – the same type of receiver. You can't just have speed. Right. You can't just have a bunch of big guys. You need a nice complement where guys can do different things. And I don't think right now, in my opinion, they have a Luke Tasker type on the roster. I could be wrong, and I'm sure they're going to bring some American receivers up for camp. Happens every year. I would hate to see this guy in other colors. I think he's kind of represents what a Ticat is. Kind of
hardworking.
Yeah, you know who he reminds me of a lot of? He's a shorter version of Bakari Grant. He's a guy that will do all the dirty little things. He will go across the middle. He'll take the hits. He'll make his blocks when he has to. Like, that's who he reminds me of. And
he's so much better than Bakari Grant.
Yes, he is. He's a better receiver than Bakari Grant. I'm not saying. I'm just saying the style they play is very similar.
Oh, okay.
So I want to see a guy like Tasker back. But yes, he's obviously more prolific. He's a better receiver than Grant. I'm just saying, like, the way that they both kind of attack the game is very similar. So I think this team has a guy like that on the roster, and I think Tasker's the guy they got to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So fans out there, now we've answered the question. Now it's your turn to throw it back to us. So when you listen to the show, tweet us your answers, stick them in the comments section, and next week we'll have a question. We will read out your answers before, especially because the next show we do, it will be next Monday, and that is the day before free agency opens. So it's going to be our big free agency kind of special that we do every year. And it feels like yesterday that we were sitting here talking about the Argos winning the Grey Cup, and now we're already at free agency. Mike, the season's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah, man. I mean, January flew. Every month just keeps going faster and faster and faster. So, I mean, And there's so much going on in the offseason now that it doesn't – like, I miss football, obviously. Like, I miss Canadian football, but there's so much news that it keeps you entertained in the offseason.
Sure does. It feels like not a day or two has gone by where there hasn't been some major news league-wide. There was a dearth of Ticats news for about a month there, but we were kept up with all the other news going on around the league, and now we get some Ticats stuff coming up. We got free agency about to hit. After that, we're going to get CFL week with the combine, and next thing you know, it's going to be mini camps, and then it's going to be the draft, mm-hmm. and then the season starts earlier this year, so the season,
right.
It's just, it doesn't feel like the league has gone out of the public sporting consciousness since Grey Cup. It's almost like there's been more news since the playoffs ended than there was during the playoffs, and it's the CFL is no longer a league that shuts down the day after Grey Cup and comes back for free agency in February. This used to be the December and January were the dead times. You'd see some re-signings here and there, pending free agents, but nothing like what we've seen this year. This has been one of the most exciting, frantic, fast-paced off seasons that I think I've ever seen.
Yep, and you don't see a lot of trades either, and there's been some trades, and it's been exciting. So, more news to come and more to talk about on the pod.
For sure. So don't forget, that's the show for this week, so you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher, or you can listen to it or download it over at 3downnation.com. Again, as always, don't be shy. Hit us up on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PodskiWeeWee, and of course, we have our own personal accounts where you can hit us up with any questions or comments or answers to our Ticats question of the week. So, Mike, hit him with your Twitter handle, please.
Mike_Ticats.
And I am JoshSmith_82. And, of course, you can always throw those comments and answers to our question in the 3Down Nation comment section. And, of course, do not forget that you can pick yourself up some Podski WeeWee merch at our store over at shop.spreadshirt.ca/PodskiWeeWee. We just put up some new designs. Yesterday, on Sunday, I debuted the Mazzoli Mania T-shirts, running wild, brother. And we got a couple more coming out. Monday Night Pod, which is based after the old Monday Night Raw logo. And I think this is Mike's personal favorite, stick it in your ear holes, which is one of your go-to sayings. Those will be available for purchase as you're listening to this show. So always some great new stuff going up there. We got some more designs that are going to be going up soon. Plethora of stuff to show your Podski WeeWee love. Mike, you got yourself a shirt, didn't you?
I did. And I bought two of them by accident. So. They're very nice, you know, not just saying this, but you know, it's good quality. And I got a long sleeve Podski WeeWee shirt. It's really nice.
Sweet. I got some coming my way. And of course, you and I got our own special merchandise just for you and I that people will see us wearing out and about sooner rather than later. Yeah, so
very...
Mike, that was episode 100 of Podski WeeWee. Here's to you for the first 100. Can't wait to do the next 100 and the next 100 after that.
Absolutely.
That's the episode for this week. I'm Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham. Eat 'em raw.
Eat 'em raw.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.